Today I'm going to talk to you about the evaluation of the carbon budget model of the Canadian forest sector that I will refer to as CBM, using the Canadian National Forest Inventory ground plot data that I will refer to as the NFI. I'm going to talk a little bit about the model. The National Forest Inventory focus a little bit in on black spruce and trembling aspen forest ecosystems, and a few conclusions and next steps. The carbon budget model is a stand and landscape scale model of forest carbon dynamics. As many of you might know, it's used for Canada's national forest sector greenhouse gas reporting, and it's fully compliant with the IPCC requirements. I can't talk about the model in any detail today, but for people who are interested, I refer you to the recent publication in Ecological Modeling for the details about the model. The CBM models biomass, dead organic matter, such as snags, stemwood, woody debris, and soil forest carbon dynamics. We know a lot more about the, we know a lot more about the biomass at the stand level and how it responds over time to disturbances and so on. And as we move through the DOM pools and down into the soil, we tend to know less and less. However, the IPCC requirements for Tier 3 reporting requires a strong linkage between the above and below ground carbon dynamics. So with the NFI ground plot data, we hope to be able to strengthen those relationships. The IPCC recommendations are also that any models used for carbon accounting be evaluated against an independent data set, preferably from a monitoring network, and that's what the NFI is. So it's a new national forest inventory. There's about 1,000 ground plots. There's a lot of error or photo plot work done, but there's about 1,000 ground plots. From the data, we can estimate the carbon stocks for all the pools in the carbon budget model except for roots. I guess the beauty of it is that they're using a standard sampling design, and it's representative of all the terrestrial ecozones that are forested across Canada. They're also collecting data for many explanatory variables, and a component of the inventory is resampling. So then we will be able to do some assessment of changes in carbon stocks, not just the stocks of the pools themselves. The unfortunate part at this date is that we don't have all the NFI data, but we have data that we have done model runs for from Saskatchewan and Newfoundland. We actually very recently received the data for BC, Alberta, Northwest Territories, but we're waiting on this big chunk here from Ontario and Quebec. So we weren't as far along as I would have liked to have been at this time, but was hopeful when I wrote the abstract. I'm sure we all are. In order to do the evaluation of the model, we'll be running 1,000 independent simulations that are customized for each one of the ground plots. And so this is tuned to the lead species, which you know a lot of the allometric equations that are used for biomass partitioning are related to the lead species, and the yield curve selection. Now, we have access to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of provincial yield curves, so we're trying to select the curve the same way that they would, using their same criteria. So it's kind of a lengthy process identifying the most appropriate yield curve for the ground plot. We also model the historical disturbance regime, last known disturbances, and of course everything is tuned for the mean annual temperature of the plot because decay rates and so on are altered depending on the mean annual temperature. I'm going to focus in a little bit on black spruce and trembling aspen because they are two of the most common forest types in Canada. They're very widespread. Together they account for over 40% of the managed forest area, and also are dominant in the non-managed forest areas. Now, we haven't done very many runs, so I just wanted to give you an illustration of some of the kinds of things that we can look at. All these charts or graphs are in carbon in tons per hectare. So along the top, we have trembling aspen. On the bottom, black spruce. The green squares are modeled results, and the blue circles, ground plot measured data. So on each graph, it's kind of the relationship between two adjacent pools in the model. So in the first column, it's the relationship between the fine and small woody debris, which feeds into soil organic horizons. And in the second column, it's soil organic horizons that feed into the mineral soil. For trembling aspen, we can see that the relationship used by the model is fairly similar to that that we observe in the ground plot data, and also the similar, well, almost lack of relationship is apparent in the model and in the measured data, except the model is tending to overestimate carbon, so that might mean we need to adjust a decay or transfer rate. However, with black spruce, it's very clear that the relationship used in the model is quite divergent from that you're seeing in the observed data. And for that relationship between fine and small woody debris and the soil organic horizons. And for the soil organic to mineral, the modeled results are sort of in the heart of all this data, which is highly variable. So the model isn't expressing the range and values that you might see in the mineral soil under black spruce soils. This row along here are that's organic soil, so there was no mineral soil carbon measured there, but the model is not meant or it has not been developed to model organic soils. Now this large variability could be due to the wide variety of soil types that black spruce occurs on. It's fairly right from spodosols to trying to do my conversion in my head from Canadian to American, but spodosols, antisols, gelisols, you name it, the whole range of soil types. But if we back up one pair of pools or adjacent pools, this is the pool that feeds into the fine and small woody debris, and it's the branches of the merchantable size snags and the non-merchantable snags. So this relationship has been carried over into this pair of pools, and we'll be looking into this further, but we already know from our first explorations that a lot of this variability is due to poor estimation of the non-merchantable components, not the branches, so we need to do a better job of being able to predict non-merchantable stemwood in these small diameter forests. When we looked at the same relationships or the prediction of non-merchantable branches in trembling aspen, the error wasn't as large and we could see that it was attributable to branches as opposed to the non-merchantable component. And we're also benefiting from our relationship with researchers that do very site-specific studies. This is Martin Maroney. He's a Canadian Forest Service researcher in Newfoundland. He's recently moved to Tasmania, and his graduate student, Uli. And they've done a lot of very detailed measurements in Newfoundland black spruce and balsam fir systems. So what Martin did was establish chronosequences of different disturbance origins, and at each time step in the chronosequence, he selected like three sites, and at each site, he put in four NFI style plots. So they're very well measured. And so by working with him and checking his data against the model predictions, we were able to, or he provided us with some recommendations for improving the snag stem dynamics in those systems. And now with the NFI, we'll be able to evaluate those and decide whether they should be implemented in the model for that region. The Ulis did some interesting work in Labrador, and it's where there's some very long-lived black spruce forests. And one of the things that she identified, which I think is really interesting, is this burial of dead wood in Labrador. And right after a disturbance event, the diameter of this wood is so small that, and the bryophyte productivity rate is so high that this wood can get buried by the bryophytes before it can decompose. Like the decay rate is much slower than the productivity rate of the bryophytes. And it's a substantial amount of carbon that can be buried. In this system, ULI estimated about 40 tons per hectare, which is very significant for these forest ecosystems. So in conclusion, I just want to say that the NFI ground plot data is a unique opportunity to evaluate and calibrate our model because it provides national coverage and data for all the pools in the model. And it also allows us to evaluate the suitability of modifications to the model recommended from detailed regional studies. We'll just continue with our model simulations for jurisdictions in which we have a preview on this data. It hasn't been publicly released yet. They're still in the last stages of their QA/QC. And when we get the final release, we'll do it all again. And some of these ground plots are in their first remeasurement cycle, so very soon we will be able to do some assessment of changes in pools over time, not just the pools themselves. Well, thank you very much. If you're interested in learning anything more about the model, there's our website. And I'm open to any questions anyone might have.